Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we turn to the scripture tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, in this part of the service, Lord. We approach it with reverence, Lord, asking, Lord, that you would come down, Lord. Lord, that I'm not here to deliver a speech. Lord, I'm here to yield to you that you may come and speak to your people, Lord, your sheep, and strengthen them and lift them up. Dear God, encourage them, I pray. Give them direction, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask it to the glory of God. Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I want to continue to speak on the same spirit. Romans 8, 11, verse, Romans 8, 11th verse through the 16th. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many that's led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. You may be seated. In the message of witness, Brother Ram says, no matter how much you go to church, how well your name's engraved on stained windows or what more, or on a book, it'll never mean nothing to you until you are a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ by the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you're just taking somebody else's word for it. Well, Brother Branham say, I know that Jesus is Christ because the Bible said so. Well, the Bible's right, but what do you know about it? See, it's an individual affair with every individual. It must be a personal witness that every person must have in order to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is when his spirit bears record with your spirit in an experience of a new birth, born again, you cry, Abba, Father. So, the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. What is our spirit? Brother Branham was bringing out that this is actually an evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. If you, your spirit is bearing witness, his spirit bears witness with our spirit. And Brother Branham referenced 1 John 5 and 1 here in this quote. It says, in the infallible word of God, says, the Bible said no man can say Jesus Christ only by the witness of the Holy Ghost. And if you deny the Holy Ghost exists, if you deny no such thing as baptism of the Holy Ghost, how can you believe in Jesus Christ? Only by historical standpoint could you believe. And when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit in your heart, been regenerated, born again, then the Holy Ghost itself bears record. That's the reason people today can believe in divine healing, supernatural, because the very God that made the Word created it, has sent his own spirit in the hearts to vindicate that to be true. Where this says his spirit beareth witness with our spirit here is not talking about our human spirit. Because our human spirit is far from perfect. Our human spirit's what gets us into a lot of trouble sometimes. We think it's all the flesh, but it's the human spirit, because where is the seat of affection? It's in the human spirit. You know, where would fear take its root? Not in the flesh. Fear would take its root in your spirit realm. Begin to rely on reasoning instead of depending on God. So the Spirit that bears witness with your spirit is talking about our spirit. It's talking about you being filled with the Holy Ghost. So the Spirit of God bears witness with the Holy Ghost that's within you. And the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham said, would never disagree with the Word. And said, the Spirit bears witness with yours that we are the sons and daughters of God. He said, the best witness that we have, we got the Holy Ghost, is when our spirit bears record with the Word. So the Spirit we're talking about is the Holy Spirit, not our human spirit. And if it is the Holy Spirit, then it's going to bear record with the Word. If it's not the Holy Spirit, then there's going to be places in the Word where it will, wait a minute now, hold on, I don't know about that right there, you know. I believe in the way Jesus said it, baptizing Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I don't know about that over there, what Peter said. Well, if you got the Holy Ghost, it would bear witness with the Word. And the thing is, you wouldn't have to look at the Word and pick and choose which parts of it you want to believe. Which parts of it you say, well, I'm just going to pick the parts to believe, the parts that I think I understand. Well, then you don't, I'm going to tell you, you're lacking in understanding right there. Because the Word, look, if Peter, how many believes Peter received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost? So, if Peter had the Holy Ghost, would not the Spirit of God bear witness with the Holy Ghost that was in Peter? And if it did bear witness with that, then Brother Adam said the proof of having the Holy Ghost was bearing, saying amen to the Word, bearing witness with the Word. Well, then would Peter with the Holy Ghost come out and say something that didn't bear record with the Word? Would he come out and say something different than what Jesus was saying? If I came out and said, well, I've got a son, and I've got a father, but the thing is, somebody else come and say, could say, you know, well, there's Brother Browning and there's Nathaniel. Well, they're saying the same thing. But when the scripture says baptize them in the name of, then it didn't mean titles. It meant in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. And that name Peter caught. I don't know how people could believe Peter got the Holy Ghost. How could they believe that Peter went and preached to Cornelius' house and brought them in, and they received the Holy Ghost the same as those on Pentecost received it? How could you believe that and then deny something that God spoke through the mouth of Peter? Because the church says so? Because that's the way we always did it? I'll tell you, that right there is a flaw that many of us have to overcome, and that is, well, this is the way we've always done it. Right. Well, if you've always been doing it wrong, you need to change. Right. It don't matter how long you've been doing it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Right. Yes. He said, for our spirit beareth witness with yours that we're sons and daughters of God. It does not yet appear just what will be at the final windup when this world is no more. But we'll know we'll have a body like his, for we're going to see as he is. What glorious hope and joy in our hearts. How could we feel bad and believe that? That someday we're going to meet him and see him and touch him, and what would it be? And sitting at the wedding supper, come, take his nail-pierced hands, wipe the tears from our eyes, take away all the suffering and sorrow, enter into the joys of the Lord that's been prepared since the foundation of the world. God, let every man and woman in here tonight lay hold on that promise and believe with all their heart. And by believing so they will receive everlasting life. For we ask it in his name, he says. I tell you, it does not yet appear what we will be. But we will be like him. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day when I can shed this old skin. I'm looking forward to that day to where I won't have this human spirit to deal with that has all these, that Satan has access to. Satan won't have access to that theophany. The Bible says he'd be bound 1,000 years by a chain of circumstance, Brother Branham said. And that chain of circumstance would be that he has no effect on us anymore. But right now, while we're here in this life, he still can have an effect upon our spirit. And I'll tell you something that Satan wants to do. Satan loves when he can keep us out of church. Because we are not going to, we can't feed upon the strength of the Holy Spirit and the strength that comes from gathering together with believers of like faith. We can't draw on that if we're not here. And he likes to, and I'm not talking about, I mean, friends, there's times somebody's in the hospital or somebody's sick or something, you know, had to go out of town. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about for some flimsy reason sitting at home. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Just because it's Thursday night, we can miss out. Right. You know, Thursday night, well, there ain't that many people here, and you know, we can skip that service. Well, I'll tell you what, I've seen some messages when Brother Phil was preaching, some fantastic messages preached on Thursday nights with very few people here. I want you to realize something. It's going to get preached whether you're here or not. And I'll tell you the way that I am, I'll preach on you whether you're here or not. Amen. I don't zero in just because you're not here, but if the Lord gives me something that is going to touch you, well, I'm going to say it anyway. And you know what? Guess what? They ain't here, they didn't hear it, they'll still give an account. Why? Because they should have been here. That's right. Brother Branham said if we had the Holy Spirit, we couldn't wait for them church doors to open. And I understand, friends, times when I'm not speaking of times when there are legitimate circumstances. I'm not speaking to that. But I'm talking, friends, I've been there when Satan comes and tries to bring some heaviness in the spirit, and then after a while you don't feel like coming. Well, you're not going to draw strength at home. How many times when we stay home do we say, well, I ain't going to be able to make it. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down and give just a little time and read the Bible and pray. And no. While everybody else is in church, you're doing something else. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, I find that word bondage means slave, a slave to fear. And I find that fear is a very great thing among God's people. Fear of things. And as humans, sometimes some of us have a way of when we got to face something, we think of the very worst scenario. We think the worst. The worst is going to happen out of this. Well, the thing is, Why get upset? You ain't going to change it no matter what it's going to be. And God will test us. You know, God allows us to go through situations. I'm here to tell you tonight, he will allow you to go through things that seem unbearable. But the Bible said he wouldn't put on you more than you could bear. But sometimes it'll feel unbearable. Sometimes it'll feel like, how long is this going to go on? And it'll seem like it keeps going on and on, and then you're sitting around trying to come up with an answer for something, and here you are maybe with your wife or your spouse or whatever, and you're talking about, well, we've got to get an answer for this right here. What are we going to do about this? And so every evening when you get together, you end up discussing, well, you know, we're going to have to make a decision here in the future. Something we're going to do, now what are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you the best thing to do, put it in God's hands. Whatever you're supposed to do, God will bring it to your mind. And I'm here to testify tonight and tell you there's times when God takes it completely out of your hands and does it all himself. Sometimes when he's doing it, you think, well, man, couldn't it have been a little smoother? Couldn't it just not have required something so much out of me? You know, Brother Branham said Satan kept people in bondage and fear, and said when Jesus descended into the lower regions, he said that he went up to Satan and told him, said, all these people you've been holding under bondage and fear, I'm setting them free. Give me them keys. And he said he reached over and took them keys off Satan's side and put them on his own side. And said, I've got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So he has the power over it. And the thing is, nothing can come our way what God doesn't allow it. And if God allows it, then it means there is a spiritual lesson and a spiritual blessing. There's a spiritual lesson whereby we'll learn from it, whereby that we will, like the song, I want to be like Jesus, we'll become more like Jesus. It's Jesus taking, it's God taking and honing off all the things that isn't part of him. It's all our rough edges. And I'll tell you what, you don't think God knows where they're at? You don't think God knows where your weaknesses are? You can get up and shout and dance and testify in church, but God still knows where it'll really get you at, or where you're lacking, I should say. He knows where we're lacking, and I'm glad he does. And I'm glad he points out to us where we're lacking. And I'll tell you the way he does it. He don't just come here in the pulpit and say, well, Brother Wayne, you're lacking in such and such and such and such. No, God has you go through a trial. He has a circumstance, a situation come your way. And when it does, it will show where if you're lacking in something, it'll begin to show. Amen. And you say, well, what do I do? Learn from it. Amen. Learn from it. So that you don't react out of fear every time something comes up. Amen. Fear, it's a terrible thing to let take control of you. Fear is not rational. It doesn't make any sense. You can't have fear and think, well, I'm going to be very reasonable. I'm going to be able to reason through this. No, you won't. Not when fear is set in. Brother Branham says here in the message of adoption, he says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And he says, oh, wonder if I can just hold on. Ooh, if I can just hold on now. Brother Branham says, hold on nothing. It isn't whether I held out, it's whether he held out.
Amen.
I'm in him.
Amen.
Friends, look. There's nothing that you go through that Jesus don't understand it. I don't care what it is. Do you know Matthew, before he was called by Jesus to come and follow him, you know what Matthew was? He was a worker for the IRS of that day. That's what he was. He was a tax collector. Honestly, I don't know if you could work for them and be a Christian. I just don't know you could. I wouldn't want to try it. I think they must take something out of their brains of feeling and compassion, and they just become, Brother Branham called them an alligator. But you know, I went through that, and I'll tell you what, I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you make or how little you make. So the IRS calls you up and says they're going to audit you, it'll scare you to death. And it will. First thing that's going to hit you is fear. What in the world are they going to do? Brother Branham went through it. And they were going to tell Brother Remy he had to pay this back and pay that in and pay off of this and pay taxes off and this and that and the other, because the way that they had handled the money, people would give him money, he'd turn around and just give it to go into the missions and that. And they said, well, he's going, because it came to pass through his hands, he's going to have to pay on it. That's the way they are. That's the way they are. But the thing is, Brother Branham went through it, and he knew the pressure of it. It got so much pressure that it caused him to backslide and lie. So much pressure. But guess what? In the end result, where it looked like that he was going to have to pay back more money than he would ever be able to get, they turned around and the whole thing fell through and he didn't owe them nothing. Say, how did it happen? God took part. You got to put it in God's hands. I know when they investigated us back beginning of the year, and when they was looking at some other things, the family members and different things, that my mind right away, it went to the worst scenario. You know, it went to the worst, because they said that something we didn't report and we should have reported it, and that was against the law. And so said we, me and Mina broke the law. And they'll sit there and now this was the sheriff and this DCS worker, and they'll sit there and make you think you're going to go to jail. But you get you a good lawyer, and the lawyer says, it's past the statute of limitations. You can't prosecute him over that. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't go to law school. But I knew when this thing started going down like it was, I needed to go get a lawyer, because I wasn't going to be able to represent us. You know, one thing I learned over the last 11 months, and is that the law moves slow. Things in the courts move real slow. Lawyers ain't never in a hurry for nothing. You'll go in there and sit there for them to get up and set another court date, and you spend all day. That's their world. That's just the way it goes. They come in there and they spend a little bit of time saying, okay, we set a new date, and they're out of there and out in some other courtroom. And I'll tell you what, it's nerve-wracking. Because you're like, I don't see nothing happening. I don't see nothing changing. All we're doing is changing dates. And I thought all kinds of things, friends. I thought, my goodness, they're going to throw us in jail. But they didn't. And they couldn't. And it turns out, well, I knew from the beginning the whole thing was a lie. But the thing is, see, one little girl went and told them something, and they just believed it hook, line, and sinker. And I know that's what they're there for. They're there for the children. But I'll tell you what, I'd like to ask them, some of them, you ever raised a teenager? Because unless they've stepped in them shoes, they don't have no idea what it is like. A few other questions I guess I'd like to ask them. But you know what? It was almost a year that it took. And then once we got done with that, and that case got dismissed, then the same little person got us in some more hot water. And so here we are back going to court again over something different. And I told Mina, I said, man, we just got done with one thing. It all been 11 months, almost just lacking actually a few days of being a whole year. And I said, and here we go again. But you know what? Everything's in God's hands. We were wondering what we was going to do anyway. And the decision of what we was going to do with this person has been took out of our hands. That decision been took out of our hands. We don't got really much say in it now. But for the first time in a year, our whole family got to get together on Thanksgiving. We hadn't got together as a family for a year because of that stuff that was going on, because the lie had been told, and they separated our family and said some of our family couldn't be around some of the other people of our family. And they ordered us that in court. And so we had a good Thanksgiving dinner. It might not have been on Thursday, it was on Friday, but it didn't matter. It was good eating, and we had the family around the table. Only one missing was John, but you know, he's out in Utah. But everybody else lives around here, everybody got to be there. And I, to be honest with you, I thought, was that going to ever happen again? But God, you'll try to second guess yourself when you get into something and say, well, maybe if I hadn't have done this or that, or, you know, that's what we did. Maybe if we hadn't reported this other thing, you know, then wouldn't have got to this. But you know what? God knew what it was going to be all along. And I'll tell you what, you try to control a rebellious 16-year-old that's got their mind set on being anywhere but with you. And I'll tell you what, you got your hands full. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We're not slaves to fear. We shouldn't be. People, we let fear overtake us. People fear going into surgery. You know, I've had people come want me to pray for them because they didn't want to go through surgery. Well, I'll tell you what. You say, well, people get staff. Yeah, well, who's in control anyway? You can get that at home. But God, you got it in God's hands. And if you got staff, it's because God allowed you to get it. And if he allowed you to get it, it's for a reason. And you will get healed. See, just fear things instead of looking to God. If you look to God for everything, you know, and I'll tell you what, friends, when you backed into a place where you realized, man, it's completely out of my control. There ain't nothing I can do. I can't stop what's going on. I can't change what's going on. If I get mad, that won't change nothing. If I sit around and cry, that ain't going to change nothing. If I sit around and complain, that ain't going to change nothing. The only thing that can change it is God. Sometimes we want to feel comfort. Well, we'll go talk to this one, or we want to go talk to that one, or we're looking for somebody to tell us something to give us some comfort. And the one who can really give us comfort is the one we don't seem to go to first, and that's God. Go to God first. You'll get some comfort. Say, how do I do it? I've got down and prayed, doesn't have any comfort. Stay down there then. Just stay there before God until you do get it. You say, how will it be? His spirit will just wash over you. And then you'll realize he's in control. You'll realize that all your worrying and fretting is for nothing. Some people fear death. They're afraid of dying. Death ain't nothing to fear. Brother Branham said a born-again believer said they couldn't die anyhow. He said what death means is separation. He said they'll be separated from this scene, but they won't be dead. They'll just be separated, he said, from this scene, from our eyes. There's nothing to fear. Paul talked about it in Hebrews. Said that he delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So their whole lifetime, fear and death. And he said, Jesus set us free of that. How did he do it? Because he conquered death. He conquered it. He took the sting out of it. As Paul so gallantly put, he took the sting out of death. It ain't nothing but just leaving this dimension for another dimension. It's nothing to be afraid of. And the thing is, you can't go till it's your time to go anyway. I've heard people say they is afraid to fly. They is afraid to fly. And you talk to them, and they said, you tell them something I've told them before. Said, well, until it's your time to go, you couldn't die anyhow. They said, but yeah, but what if we get up here and it comes the pilot's time to go? Well, I read a story, true story, about a woman, young lady, who was traveling from the States back down to South America where her parents were scientists down there, and she had got out of university and was traveling down there to be reunited with her family, and the plane blew up in the air, and everybody on the plane died except her. When she came to, she was still sitting in her seat, but on the ground. So I'll tell you this, I believe that it wasn't her time to go. It was everybody else on the plane's time to go, but it wasn't hers. How in the world did that happen? Her fall out of the sky, everything, the plane come apart. All that's left is the seat she's sitting in, and she's still buckled in it and end up on the ground. Not no hurt, damage to her whatsoever at all. You'd think that'd be the end of her trial right there. But then, no, she landed in the jungle somewhere, and she had to follow the river and find her way out of there to get out to civilization where she could get to her mom and dad again. So that took her several days. But she made it. So I think, I don't know her, but it's a true story, and I read it. But I think, well, if that could happen to her, why, it could happen for me. It definitely would if it wasn't your time to go. You got nothing to fear. I ain't trying to talk you into flying. If you don't want to fly, don't fly. But I'm just giving you an example of where people let fear like that take them over. But there's no reason to be afraid of that. Ain't no, you know what? There's more people dies in car accidents every day than what dies on airplanes. And some people think, well, if I just keep my feet on the ground and never go in the water, never go on a boat, never go on a plane, just keep my feet on the ground, I'll be better off. No. No. When it's your time to go, you're going to go wherever you are. Some people get afraid of getting very far from their doctors. But the thing is, it don't matter how close you are or how far you are. It don't matter if it's a doctor standing right beside your bed. If it's your time to go, you're going. It's out of his hands. Ain't nothing he's going to be able to do. Brother Branham said, talking about this fear, he said, that's what Calvary meant. That's what Calvary was for. To set us free from the bondage of fear. Amen. We are the children of God. We, friends, look, Satan fears the children of God. He does. Say, well, why is he afflict us? Because he's afraid. He don't want you getting no confidence. Child of God starts getting confidence, and the devil start losing out. But I'll tell you what. The closer we get to going out of here, the more you're going to become the perfect statue, the stature of a perfect man. The closer you're going to be to it, you will become that before we leave out of here. Because this is the time in the era of growth and molding of character. All that's done when we rapture. There's no more molding of character. It's already been molded. Everything's set. And you know what? You say, well, I tell you this, don't never look down your nose at somebody else. Seems like they're really going through something, or if you see fear on them, I just try to have some words of encouragement. Because you know what? You ain't leaving till they get ready. Think of it that way. You ain't getting out of here till they get ready, so if there's anything you can do to help, help. Say, well, I don't know what to say. Go pray. Pray for them. Tell the Lord to bless them. Tell the Lord to pour it on them. Get them ready, Lord. But we all got some getting ready to do. He ain't finished with none of us yet. There's not a one of us sitting here that's come to perfection, a completion yet. He's still working on us. He's still working out everything all the, friends, look, all these things, God will work all the fear out of you. God don't work the fear out of you by pumping you up. He works the fear out of you by putting something there in front of you that you should be afraid of. That's how he works the fear out of you. Because once you get through that and overcome that, I tell you what, I went through things before. I look back and think, man, that didn't end up being as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I acted like a fool. Don't jump the gun. Well, I know the Lord's working on me. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, it's been good to be here tonight. Lord, I ask God you'll bless your people, Lord. I pray you'll strengthen them, dear God. And Lord, I ask God you help those that are going through rough times right now, that you'll help them, God. Lord, may that your spirit just begin to speak to them, Lord. Lord, sometimes we're upset, but Lord, if we can just get quiet a little bit, then the Holy Spirit can go to speaking, because the Holy Spirit don't yell and scream at us. It's just a small, still voice. Lord, I pray, may they realize, each one that's here tonight, realize, dear God, that there's more with us than there is with them. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. We've got nothing to fear. Lord, if the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us, it'll quicken our mortal bodies. It's the same spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. It's the same. It's your spirit. We have that dwelling in us, Lord. Lord, many times, God, our spirit realm will get clogged up in one of those gates, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that you people that's here tonight and will hear this, Lord, that may they realize, Lord, that God's got a spiritual drain over that will unclog that, and that's his word. Believe on Jesus. Believe that God cares for us. He cares for every little thing that goes on in our life. There's nothing too small, nothing too frivolous. God cares about everything in our lives. We thank you for that, Lord. Praise your name. Bless your people. Amen.
He's got it all in control.
He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down. My father knows what I need. My father knows. shining.